Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
Have you ever thought about the power of these two words? What if? What if? Have you ever really considered the power of what if? And so, are you ready to hear about what if? If you're ready, then repeat after me. My heart's open. My mind's ready. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. How many things do you know of that have improved our lives that started with someone somewhere going, what if? What if? Think about it for a moment. Someone one day said, what if I didn't have to go outside to get water? There was a time when homes did not have running water. There was no such thing as indoor plumbing. You know, one day the Wright brothers said, what if? And I'm so grateful to God for those two. What if we could fly through the air? Come on, somebody. You know, how many think about a guy who one day in a garage in California, some guy named Steve Jobs, who was bold enough to think, what if every person had a computer on their desk and in their home? And then somewhere along the way he said, well, what if we could take our phones with us? We don't have to have those long cords. I don't know if anybody else old enough to remember it. We'd have these long cords. And if you want to have a private conversation, you take the cord and you go in another room and you close the door. And you know they were having a private session because the cord of the phone went into a closed door. Praise God, those days have changed. And it was because someone's what if. What ifs changed history. And I'm trying to show you there's power in a thought, unbelievable power in a bold thought. And as Christians, we never test the resources of God until we attempt the impossible. And it starts with a bold thought. What if? It was a thought that created the phone that you carry. And now a lot of your life is now on that device. It was a thought that improved the way that we live, a thought that got somebody to figure out how we didn't have to ride on horseback to go everywhere, but we could get into a car. And it all began with a thought. So much good came because of a thought, and so much evil comes from a thought. It was a thought that created the Holocaust. A thought created slavery. A thought that has started wars. It was a thought. Are you following me? There is so much power in our thinking. This is why in Ecclesiastes 10:2 it says this message. Wise thinking leads to right living. Because living is a result of your thinking. Did you hear me? Wise thinking. But ignorant, or this translation says stupid, unwise thinking leads to wrong living. So number one, your thinking determines your living. Your thinking determines your living. You don't wake up one day and go, wow, I can't believe how I found myself in this place. No, it begins with some what ifs. Everything in life begins with a thought. Every sin begins with a thought. Come on, somebody. A thought. Every. You know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Don't you get in my face. I'm going to get in your face. Every argument in your home begins with? Back row. Hallelujah. They are awake. They're more awake in the front row. Every good thing, every disciplined action in your life also begins with a thought. There is so much power up here between our ears. And a lot of us just let it run wild and then we wonder why we're in the position that we're in. Or we wonder why we make the decisions that we make. It's because we haven't got a hold of our thinking. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Come on, yeah, stop again, right there. You can go home now, because don't copy the behaviors and the customs of the world. There's a thought. Amen. God's given you enough today already. But watch this. But let God, in other words, you can resist God. Let God. But let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way that you think. Now, some of you have accepted Christ. You've come to Him. Wow, Lord, thank you. My sins are forgiven. Man, this is amazing. I'm a new creature in Christ. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of other things that change in your life. And you say, when does this journey of faith begin to take shape in my life? But you haven't taken the time to allow God to transform your thinking. And the way He does that is through His Word. His Word. That means I've got to go, all right, I'm going to dump my old way of thinking and I'm going to allow the Word of God to start teaching me new ways. And as I recreate my thoughts, they begin to create new behaviors in my life. This is why Christianity isn't white-knuckling it. Oh, I'm going to just stick in. You know, we're just going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. Man, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better person. Be a better person. I'm not going to lash out anymore. I'm not going to lash out anymore. I'm not going to get angry anymore. Okay, as of now, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No, no, no. You will be frustrated, and I'm telling you now, you will give up. It's impossible to live the Christian life like that. And that's not Christianity. Being a Christian is, I'm going to be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of my mind. You still with me? And as I renew my thinking, I will renew my living. I don't renew my mind by going, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry. No, I allow the Word of God, which is alive, it says it's active, it is powerful to saturate my thinking so that I don't even think the old way anymore. I get so far down this journey of faith, I don't even recognize myself anymore because I've transformed the way that I think, which in turn has transformed the way that I behave. So many of our thoughts are in our subconscious. And we don't even know it. It's just taking place. It's just behavior that we have that takes place by default in our life. It's in the way that we process things, the way that we view things. In philosophy, they call it a worldview. We all have a worldview. So when Paul was saying, don't be conformed to the patterns and the customs of this world, he was talking about a worldview. And he said, no, be transformed by the renewing of your mind because you can think about how to do life the way God thinks about how to do life. And he has revealed that to us how in his word. I've said many times in the past, if you'll alter this one decision over a long period of time to put God first in your life, it will be the best time that you've ever had spiritually. Why? Because the Word of God, I'm just talking about like 15 minutes a day or every morning getting up, will begin to transform you. And by the end of the year, you'll say, you know, I don't even think the way that I used to think. I'm not anxious anymore. I'm not fearful. And I don't have those fearful thoughts that I used to have anymore in my life. Are you following me? Thoughts are so powerful because your thinking determines your living. But number two, your thinking also determines how you feel. Your thinking determines how you feel. And a lot of our feelings are driven by the way you're thinking. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, it tells us what to do. What do we do with that? Here it goes. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think what? Think what? About such things. And watch this, it goes on to say, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Did you see that? As I set my thoughts on those things, I will then get that feeling, and the God of peace will be with you. God's peace will begin to flood my life. So as I set my mind on what's trustworthy, what's admirable, excellent, and lovely, God shows up and he begins to feed me in my heart and in my mind because I've set my thoughts. Your thoughts are powerful. Number three, your thoughts determine your destiny. Your thoughts determine your destiny. They help determine the direction of your life. Because your thinking drives your behavior. And your behavior ends up in your destiny. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says this. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that are that please the Spirit. In other words, you're heading down the path that's pleasing the Spirit of God. If you're thinking of sinful things, then you go down another path. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But let the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How many of you want some life and peace? Well, this is how you get it. It's what you set your mind on. Did you hear me? It's what you set your mind on. But here's what I want you to know. You don't control your thoughts. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? You're just depressing me right now. You said my thinking controls my living and how I feel and my destiny. And now you're telling me I can't control my thoughts. You can't control them, but you can capture them. I can't always control the thoughts that pop into my mind. Are you with me? In other words, you can't control the thoughts coming, but you can capture your thinking. Are you with me? It's crucial you get that. Have you ever been sitting and you like then, all of a sudden you say, where did that come from? I'm talking about a thought. Am I the only sinner in the room? And I was like, what are you talking about? No. Dear God, where did that come from? You know, bang, hit you. What was that? But you know what you can do? You can capture them. And some of us just think everything we think. Did you hear me? Some of us just think everything we think. We just let everything we think come through the filter of our mind. And you don't have to think about every thought that you think. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Those in the back, I'm going to say it again. You don't have to think every thought that you think in your life. And so every thought you think, you've got to understand, it does not have to run wild in your mind. You can capture your thinking. Remember, predictable outcomes happen because of disciplined decisions over a long period of time. Look at your neighbor and say, long period. No, not long, long period. It's not a quick decision. You know, in a day or two. It's when they are made over a long period of time. You begin to transform your life. When you choose to capture your thoughts and put God first. So I'm going to choose to capture my thoughts. How do I do that, Mark? Good question. Thank you for asking. I'm going to give you four real practical ways. And these are important because your thoughts are very powerful. If you're with me, say amen. Number one, I'm going to examine my thoughts. If you're going to capture your thoughts, you need to examine your thoughts. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Listen to this. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, when a thought comes into my mind, I'm not just going to let it get into my spirit. I'm going to capture it and judge it against the word of God. So when it says, Mark, don't step out, don't step up, don't move out in faith, you are not enough. Whoa. What does God say about me? Is that true or is that a lie? And some of you are so believing lies because you don't examine anything you think. You just think it. And because you're thinking it, you think it's true. Just because it popped into your head doesn't mean it's real, and it does not mean it's true. Are you with me? You've got to examine it and say, what does God say? When that thought comes and it says, and you know what it says to you, mine will say, I'm not enough. You have to go, whoa. But Jesus died on the cross for me because he loved me so much. He saw potential. He saw value in me. So this cannot be true. I'm examining the thought. Is it God in this situation? This is why you need to start your day in the Word of God. You will not know truth from a lie if you haven't allowed the Word of God to fill your heart and mind. Amen. Still with me? Hope you're taking notes. Number two. These are just very practical. All right? Nothing new. I'm going to replace the thought. I'm going to replace the thought. Let's go back to Romans 12:2. I want to read it in the NIV. It says this, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Renew your mind. So, what am I going to replace it with? God's word. God's word. It's impossible to tell yourself to just stop thinking about something. You have to replace the thought. Everybody think about a purple elephant. Some of you wanted me to say purple cow. No. Think about a purple elephant. A purple elephant. Long trunk. Big tusks. Purple elephant. Just walking along. A big purple elephant. Picture this. This big purple. It's kind of dirty. It's got dust on it. So right now, stop thinking about a purple elephant. Stop thinking about a purple elephant. Lenny, have you stopped thinking about a purple elephant? La, purple elephant. Anybody else? Stop it. No more purple elephant, all right? Stop thinking about a purple elephant. Pink kangaroo. Pink kangaroo. A little pink kangaroo with a cute little pouch. Do you see what you have to do? You have to replace the purple elephant with something else. And if you walk around saying, I wish I could just stop doing, I wish I could just stop being this dumb. I wish I could stop, you know, thinking that I'm unlovely. I wish I could stop thinking, you know, just stop thinking, stop thinking, stop thinking, stop thinking that you're ugly, stop thinking. No. I have to replace the thought that renews my mind. I've got to renew my mind. Scientists have caught up with what Paul was telling us in Romans 12:2. Over your life, you've created neural pathways in your mind. You can Google all about this. And they are like roads that you automatically, subconsciously, you just automatically go down these roads in your brain. So when something negative happens, you immediately go down that path. Can I tell you mine? I go to worst case scenario. It's like worst case. In fact, most pastors do, but I go to, It's all going to fall apart. This is going to blow up. Nobody's going to come to church next Sunday. It's going to be empty. You know why? Because for some reason, I've created a neural pathway that the blessings of God could just vanish. And what if, in the negative, what if I can't keep living this blessed life? That's what I have to fight. Are you with me? I have to retrain, my mind. I've got to retrain my thinking. And I'm telling you now, it is possible, because the Bible says you are transformed. It literally rewires your brain. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. And you may think, Mark, you look like you're so full of faith and you're so confident and you're always walking around bold. That's because I walk around going, I am blessed in the heavenlies with every single spiritual blessing. I'm retraining the way I think that comes along. God has good plans for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me. God has plans to give me a hope and a future. You know, when I'm driving, people probably think I'm talking on my cell phone. Because I'm going, I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I have the favor of God upon my life. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I've been adopted as His son. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed. I'm called. I'm empowered with everything that God has called me to do. That is who I am. I don't go around thinking, stop thinking that. Stop thinking that. Stop thinking that. No, no. Don't think that anymore. No, no, no. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? He is my stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will boldly face my day. And when that thought of fear comes across, it's like, whoa, I'm examining that. No, I'm replacing that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes, who shall I fear? That's why it's so important to put God first in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year. And hide the Word of God in your heart. You can't fake it till you make it. You need to get it in your spirit. Because if it's not there, when the thought comes, you will not have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to battle and cut that thought down. You'll be fighting a battle without weapons. Paul wrote Ephesians, I think it is 6:7, somewhere 17 around there. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When he defined our battle spiritually in Ephesians, the sword is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is to protect you. That is why the Word of God is so important in your life. Number three, I'm going to direct my thoughts. As I said, it's not rocket science. I'm going to direct my thoughts. So I'm going to examine my thoughts. I'm going to replace my thoughts. And then I'm going to direct my thoughts. Isaiah 26:3. New Living Translation. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose what? All whose what? Thoughts are what? Fixed on you. So I will replace it and fix my thinking on God. Colossians 3:2 says this. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. I don't know how much plainer it can get than that. I'm being honest. Right there. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think about it. Just think about that. So I will direct my thinking towards God and His character. I will direct my thinking towards what He says about me, not what everybody else says about me. I'm going to direct my thinking, and I think that's why, you know, I say you have to capture your thoughts. That's why in my life I have to capture my thoughts. I can't necessarily control what flashes across the billboard of my mind or the thought that bubbles up, that text thought that comes into my mind all the time. But what I can do is capture it and say, no, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to direct my thoughts towards fear and insecurity. No, I'm going to move away from defeat and negativity. I'm not directing them in that direction. And for some of you, this battle is greater than others because of the environment that you grew up in your life. But whatever the fight is, you can determine to direct your thoughts towards the things of God. Some days you'll win, and some days you'll learn. Amen? But just keep pursuing Jesus. Decide to direct your thoughts until they become the habit of your life. Until they become the default of your life. And as I renew my mind, what's happening? I'm being transformed. I think one of the worst things I could hear from somebody after not seeing me for a while is, hey, wow, you haven't changed a bit. That'll be like a dagger in my heart, I'm telling you. How can I avoid that? I get transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm continually growing into the likeness of Jesus. That's what the word discipleship means. It's not a program. It's not a class. It is you and I growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And it happens by transforming your mind, by renewing it with the Word of God. Because as you change your thinking, you change your living. And as you change your living, it becomes evident to all those that are around you that something's different. Let me give you the last one. This is the last thought. Are you still with me? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. The rest of you. Some of you still look like a deer in the headlights. This church is too noisy. Come on, let's all give a one loud amen. Amen. Praise God. That's more like it. Number four. I think this one's super important. If you're going to be bold in your thinking, number four, I'm going to grow my thoughts. I'm going to grow my thoughts. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says this. Let us think of ways. Let us think of ways. Let us have a brainstorming session together on what? Ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. You know, some people weren't coming to church. It was happening way back then. Amen. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his, that's Jesus' return, is drawing near. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. So I'm going to grow my thoughts. You need to get people around you, I'm telling you now, that grow your thinking. That grow your thinking, I'm talking about in God. Amen? The circle that influences you the most shouldn't be the one that pulls down your thinking. And I'm not just talking spiritually. I'm talking about your life in general. You've got bold vision, bold dreams. God is birthing something on the inside of you. You need a people around you that say, I'm believing that for you. Be bold. Be bold in your thinking. I'm believing for God to do something new in your life. Let us motivate one another towards love and towards good deeds, good works. Not motivating towards, you know, deeper selfishness. I'm always trusting for people to get around me who will build my faith. That something on the inside would begin to stir and make me love Jesus more. It would cause me to think bolder, bigger, be more audacious, more daring in God. And so if you want more in your life, you need people that will grow your thoughts. That's why we believe in life groups, where people know your name, where people believe in your future. And help you grow your thoughts. Because your thinking drives your living. It determines your destiny. And it affects how you feel. And so you want people who say, come on, let's direct our thoughts towards heaven. Let's examine and replace those thoughts. Let's grow our thinking to become everything that God wants us to be. A what if? A what if? A what if? Put a plane in the sky. What if? Put a phone in your hand that can now operate your banking. I mean, it can do all your scheduling. All because somebody thought a thought. And if that's true for the things that don't really matter for eternity, how much more is it true for things that do matter? Listen to me. Your thinking is powerful. It's powerful. You don't have to think every thought that you think, but you can capture that thought. You can examine it. You can replace it. You can direct it in your life and ultimately grow your thinking. All so that you could become everything that God wants you to be. Team, you can come up. I think if you will do that, here's what I know. You will be transformed according to Romans 12:2. More and more into the image of God. And so I want to challenge you to be more willing to make disciplined decisions over a long period of time. And after a while, you'll barely recognize the you that started the journey. You don't have to think every thought that you think. Have you received the word? Come on, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you right now that you have given us the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you that you've given us this tremendous power of your word that is active, that is alive. Lord, that your word can transform the way that we think so that we can transform the way that we live. Lord, we understand it's not behavior modification. It's inward transformation. And God, I'm so grateful to you for that. And I thank you for that in my life. Maybe you're here today and you've never taken the first step of inward transformation. And that is to surrender your life to Jesus. That is to begin to place your faith in Him. And then continue this wonderful journey of Him transforming you from the inside out. And so if you're here today, if you're online watching me right now and you say, Mark, I've never taken the step of faith. I've never had that fresh start that you're talking. I've never had a new beginning. Or maybe you've just grown cold, moved away from the things of God. Or maybe you're here and you would say, yes, I'm a Christian. But if I were to ask you if you were confident and that you were sure of where you would spend eternity, you actually wouldn't have a good answer for me. And in a moment, I'm going to lead anybody who wants to give their life to Christ in a prayer that will help give you that confidence about your future. And so if you're here and you know about God, but you don't know Him, and today God's spoken to you, He's challenged you. You need to place your thinking at the foot of the cross and say, God, I'm going to make you my Lord over all. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand as an indication to me and to God to say, you know what? I'm giving my life, my thoughts, my past, my hurt, my pain, whatever it was in the past, I'm taking control of that. I'm giving it to Jesus and I'm making Lord of my life. I'm making Him my God, my King. I'm going to move forward in what He's planned and purposed for me. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'll know to pray for you. Mark, today is my day. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah.